Good evening to everyone. We desire your prayers.
Lord bless.
All right, Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression disobedient received a just recompense reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers or various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. How shall we escape if we neglect? Is there any way that we can go through life turning God down, walking away from his invitations and so forth, and we can get to heaven? Is there any way that we can do that? No, there is not a way. He said we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. There's people in here that's heard this gospel, I'd say, all of your lives. God has dealt with you, called you, talked to you, and worked with you. You've heard preaching over and over on various lines and so forth. And the bottom line is, we ought to give the more earnest heed, more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. God trying to do with us, build us, establish us, well, save us, settle us. He's trying to do everything he can do to help you and I to make heaven a home. We do not want to just fly by on this thing. We want to get down to business. Are we down to business? Is it just an old Wichita meeting, so to speak? Or is this something that you've been looking forward to and praying about and desiring that God would help you to get closer to God, to be more like Christ, to do the things that you would have him, he would have you to do?
Yes.
We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Oh, tonight, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep us from doing that. He's going to stop us in every way. He's going to try to deceive us. He's going to try to say, well, hey, you don't need to do that. That's not really that important. You know, it's just a little thing. But the bottom line is the word of God is the word of God. And that word of God is what's going to help us to get to heaven.
Yes.
And if you and I don't take the more earnest heed and listen and do what God would have us to do, move up as he'd have us to move up and so forth, we're going to be in trouble one day. Let them slip, let them get away. He said here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. God has covered his bases well all the way through. He hadn't left anything unturned. He started out with John the Baptist. He moved on the scene. John the Baptist backed him to a hill, preached about him, so to speak, was preaching repentance and so forth. Jesus come on the scene. And over here, and let me see here, John. Yeah, there you go, 129. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. He said, the Lamb of God. Behold, look at, study, think about, listen, that same lamb, so to speak, is alive today. That same lamb is sitting on the right hand. That same lamb gave his life. Listen, Jesus didn't do this in some light mode. He gave, he done, he worked, he established, he settled, he put it into place. He done everything that we need him to do to get us to heaven. And it's no light thing for you and I to turn him down. To neglect, to refuse, to walk away from. Listen, if you died for somebody, and they can look and see at what you done, how you reacted and so forth, and you didn't give proper respect, what would you feel like? Tonight, the Lord wants you and I to not neglect, to not turn down, to not walk away from. He wants us to pay very close attention to what he's got for us in this meeting. and before the meeting and during the regular Sunday services. This is not a time. We're close to the end of time. This is not a time to just whitewash or walk away from or not do. Listen, he said, we ought to give the more earnest heed.
Yes.
He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great? As I know, just any salvation, this is a great salvation. This cost a man his life. The Son of God came down, prayed through, done everything needed to be right down to the end. And he said, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. Listen, he brought it. He opened it up. Then he had the disciples and they've taken it. Now you and I are taking it and spreading it to the world. How shall we escape? There is people that has escaped and got away from things sometimes for years. But do you realize today, because of DNA and different things, they're actually going back and cracking cold cases, maybe that's 15, 20, 30 years old. They're getting and cracking them, opening up, said, that's the man. Listen, folks, Jesus knows everything about us. He don't have to crack the case. He knows what we've been doing. If we've done something wrong, he knows it. He knows every sin. Somebody say, well, it's not that important. Listen, every sin is a sin against the great Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and consequently, he don't take that lightly. Well, some are greater than others. A sin is a sin. Lying is a sin. Adultery and fornication is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Oh, there's so many things out there. And he said, how shall we escape? There is no way. You might pull it off with man, but we'll never pull it off with God. How shall we escape? We will not escape. If we turn it down, he's going to get us at the end of our lives. It's all going to flash before him, before you. Before you. 12 and 25 of Hebrews says this. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. There's no way. People think, well, I can get away with it. There have been people that have got down on their deathbed and they have begun to cry out and God had mercy and saved them. But that don't happen every time. That does not happen every time. Reading some older books and reading some things in them. And there was cases in this one book I was reading about that talked about people that was getting down to the end and they weren't saved. And things didn't look good. Some of them were maybe screaming in great pain and different things. I'm going to tell you, it said there, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, Jesus Christ. The very ones that are doing all they can do to help us. All right, let's go to Luke 14. Luke, the 14th chapter, 16th verse. Let's just go 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the cities and bring in hither the poor, the maimed and the halt and the blind. Servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. There's more room here for more people. The Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. What kind of excuse have you got tonight? Is excuses going to work with God? Have they ever worked with God? No. There's people that's had excuses down through the years that have said, well, I need to do this. I can't go to service because of this or whatever. One said, I bought some oxen. I got to try them out. Another said, I bought a piece of ground. I need to go see it. Listen, these things should have been done before the dollars was ever laid on the table. They should have checked the ground out, see it, and see if they liked it. A man in South Carolina called me, a good friend of mine, and he said, Brother Carl, I need you to go check out a piece of property. He had sold my property in California. He had money to buy this farm, this ranch, 265 acres. And so he said, I want you to go. Now, that put a heavy weight on me, but I went and checked it out. And I got him on the phone. I said, well, let me put it this way, brother. If I had your money and I was wanting to buy a farm, I wouldn't hesitate to buy it. I said, it's beautiful. He bought it. Ended up selling it, making quite a profit off of it later. So then one said, I've just gotten married and I cannot come. Now, if there's any excuse in these three that's valid, in my opinion, in a way, that would be about as close as come of me giving a deal. But tonight, none of these are going to work when it comes to God. None of them's going to work. But there are a lot of people. And tonight, what is your excuse? There is people that I've heard about that said, well, I know a case in South Carolina. This person has suffered immense pain for years. She has had her stomach cut away till there's hardly any stomach left. She's had ulcers after ulcers after ulcers. Her mother is a dear saint. She had begged her and pleaded her to get saved, but she's in a wrong marriage and she doesn't feel like she can come out of that marriage. Listen tonight. No matter what we are, what excuse we make, we need to put a consideration together and say, Lord, I want to talk to you about this for a while. Listen, folks, no matter what we are in, what we are doing, a job maybe that might not be what it should be. The bottom line is you need to come to Jesus and talk to him. Don't make any more excuses, but say, Lord, I want to talk to you. I want to get saved. Get saved first and let Jesus work out everything from there. Yes. There was a man in Kentucky in a tent meeting many, many years ago. And he had stole some things from his company. And he came to the altar and he prayed and he couldn't pray through. He got up and went back to his seat. He'd done this for about two or three nights in this tent meeting in Kentucky. One night he came to the place. He said, no matter what it costs me, I'm going to pray through and get saved. He prayed through in his tent about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he prayed through and he got saved. And they said his shouting was so loud it was waking other people up in the camp. It didn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to get this conviction. I'm going to get this guilt. I'm going to get it taken care of by the power of God. And that's what he done. And the Lord took care of everything else from there on. He got took care of. He never got to prison. He never got penalized or anything. I don't know. I don't know if he had to pay anything back or not. But the bottom line is Jesus will help us and we'll put him first.
Yes.
Do what we need to do first, and that is don't try to escape, but get salvation if you will, and do what the Lord would have you to do. This young lady, talking about a while ago, she suffered for 20, 25 years. And her mama's talked to her, and mama's talked to me. I pastored her, and she begged her. And tonight she just won't make that step. I have prayed for that person over and over. I said, Lord, somehow help her to see what she needs to do, but she doesn't seem to see that. I got news for you, folks. When Jesus visits you and talks to you and deals with you and convicts you and works with you, and you turn him down over and over and over, you're not going to escape. You're going to deal with him face to face one day. And the Bible said he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Jesus will have every right in the world to send a person to hell because he dealt with them and they refused the one that could get him there. Oh, tonight, don't run. Don't try to hide. Don't have an excuse. Get rid of these excuses. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Carl. I like to gamble. Get rid of the gambling. Stay out of the gambling halls. I got gambling places all around me down there. Mm-hmm. And I've been by some of them at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because I was praying for people and coming back home. And guess what? They wasn't any empty parking lots in the casinos. They wasn't full, but there was cars there. I'm going to tell you what. That's a scourge in the land. It's doing great damage. And one lawyer told a friend of mine that a businessman, he said, you would be shocked if you knew how much damage it was doing to the people of this city. Shawnee, and Shawnee's not a huge city, but it evidently is doing a lot of things. It's possibly robbing people of food. It's possibly keeping people from getting their bills paid. Oh, tonight, whatever it might be, any excuse that you're making tonight for turning Jesus down, I beg you, you will not escape. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and talk to him. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Yes. Well, I can't quit. I can't give it up. Yes, you can. Jesus has got the power to deliver you and take away the desire and so forth. And he'll bring you up and out, set your feet on a solid rock, establish your going, put a new song in your mouth, even praise be unto God, manage to sin and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He can do it. You don't have to keep smoking. You don't have to keep drinking. You don't have to quit drugging. You don't have to keep gambling. You don't have to be in bad relationships. You can have what you want, and that is peace and joy through the power of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Romans 1:19. Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, if there's anything God has hated through the years, and that's idols. Amen. God hates idols.
Yes.
That got old Israel into more trouble over and over and over down through the years. And if there's any idol today, anything that's standing between you and God that you can't give up, you can't surrender and turn loose, an idol that you're worshiping, so to speak, that thing is going to get you into real trouble.
Yes.
He says here, he said, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what's wrong with the world today? Their foolish hearts are darkened. And not just a little bit. The people that is living in sin today is in the most gross darkness that has ever been. Brother Curtis Ray preached a message at Guthrie here. Oh, it's been not too, it wasn't the last meeting, it was the meeting before. And he was preaching and he was talking about the light of God and how that people have rejected the light, turned it down and so forth. And he said, they're getting darker and darker. It's getting worse and worse because they're not coming to the light, something that could help them, lead them, guide them, but they're pushing away from the light. And he said, it's causing it. It is. You look around, that's the problem. They're walking away from the light of God. He's trying to help people, but they've got to accept that light. You've got to accept the light that he gives you. When he shines it down, you've got to say, yes, Lord, I see. I don't want to do that anymore. Lord, help me. All right, so he said here, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. That when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All right, Romans 2:1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for therein or wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That thou shalt escape? Here we are again. The Lord wants us to get the message tonight that thou shalt not escape. Oh, despisest thou the riches and goodness, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who are rendered to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Lord, help us to listen tonight.
Yes.
Lord, help us to consider that we're not going to be able to get away. We're not going to be able to escape. That we're going to meet it and deal with it one day. When's that day going to be? How long are you going to live? I want you to tell me when your death is going to be. I want you to tell me what it's going to be like. I want you to tell me that, well, Brother Carl, I have no idea how I'm going to die. I travel thousands of miles in a year. I might die in a car wreck. You might die in a car wreck. You might drop over dead. Brother Philip Busby died so quick, my head, it stunned me. When Brother Ed let me know that he needed prayer, and then when he texted me again, I was in Alabama in a motel room coming home from West Virginia, and he said he's gone. I couldn't believe it. I started crying. He put a shirt on because Sister Karen was coming over. He is sitting on the side of his bed. He laid back in the bed and he said, this feels so good, and shut his eyes and died right there. That quick. Left the congregation stunned, a wife in horrible tears, and the whole bit. He died that quick. You might die that quick too. He didn't have any time to pray. He had to be right with God when he stepped out of here, and I feel like he was. But the bottom line is tonight, folks, we do not know how we're going to die, when we're going to die, whether we're young or old. You can go to a cemetery and there's people in there all ages, all sizes and shapes, so to speak. And the bottom line is, you and I need to be ready to go.
Yes.
We're not going to escape. We're not going to be able to escape. If you had a chance of escaping, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the earth. He is seeing everything. And when he gets you there, he's already going to know everything. He don't have to go through a book and say, well, you did this, 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 and this. He already knows your life from A to Z.
So
consequently, he is doing things. Said, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, that doest the same? In other words, the Jews are looking down at the Gentiles and they're looking all over them and belittling them and so forth, and they're doing the very same thing. Doest thou the same that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He's doing everything he can to get you to repent. He's doing everything he can to get you saved in every way. And yet you turn him down over and over and over. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath. Well, Brother Carl, God is love. You want me to give you a lot of scriptures that said God is wrath? There's another side of God, and it ain't very pretty. And I preached on it over and over. I had a message on it for Guthrie one time. Went through the whole meeting, and I'm thinking, well, Lord, when do you want this preached? Sister Don Adams got in the pulpit on the last Saturday night and preached on love. And I got in and was headed to the wherever I was staying. And the Lord said, now then. She preached that away. You're going to give the reverse side of it Sunday morning. You're going to talk about the wrath. God is love, but God also has a anger, a wrath. Wrath is severe anger. It's anger that is not something that can be worked with very easy. Wrath, when a person's wrath is turned loose, usually things go wrong real quick. Oh, tonight. Where are we at? What are we doing? All right, let's go to Hebrews 10 and 28. Hebrews 10 and 28. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, that shall be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, had counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Is a fearful thing. Lord, help us tonight. The fear of God is leaving the earth. People, I don't believe, fear God like they used to. If they did, I believe this world would be a little bit different than it would be otherwise. But the world tonight is losing the fear of God. And they're just doing no big deal. We can do this and we can do that. Young people's doing things that I'm astonished at, stunned at. People are doing things, but it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The great living God. Not just anybody, but the living, great living God is a fearful thing. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out, I know that wasn't reading right. I want 2 Thessalonians. It always read right, folks. I get in the right book. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now he said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now the judgment, according to what I understand, there's only one person who's going to know when the judgment's going to start, and that's the Father, God. Christ himself doesn't even know.
Yes.
He said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that know not God. The bulk of the people in this country don't know God. They don't know Christ. Do you know God tonight? Do you know the Savior? Have you had a relationship with him? Are you doing everything you could do to make heaven? But set in flaming God, flaming fire, flaming fire. How many of you want to jump in a fire? I tell you what, I'll make a bonfire out here and you jump into it. How many would do that? There ain't nobody in here that say can jump into a flaming fire. But if we turn down God, we turn down Christ, he's going to take vengeance on us and there's going to be a fire involved. Hell is real, folks. It's not something that is just a plaything or something written in the Bible, but it's real. And there's people that is burning in a devil's hell tonight. In fire. Do you realize that there's more written in the New Testament about hell than there is heaven? There's more things brought out on hell. And the reason is he's trying to get people's attention to, hey, you don't want to come here. What's the biggest fire you've ever seen? You ever seen a house burn up? You ever seen a small building burn up? Have you ever seen a wildfire? There was signs on the Turner Turnpike, and I guess on the Will Rogers Turnpike for years. I don't think they're there anymore because I don't see them. But it said, do not drive in the smoke.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yes.
What did that mean? I had people come in my service station business go, what are they talking about? Don't drive in the smoke. I said, because they used to have fires on the sides of the interstate and range fires and so forth. I said, that smoke can get so thick that it can cause accidents and cause problems. Oh, that's what it is. But I guarantee you, if I set a field on fire, even a field, leave all the trees off, but a field, I don't think you'd run and play with barefoot in that field. And if I increased it and I made it where there's a building around you, I don't think that you would run into that building with the thought of staying there. You might want to try to go get somebody and get them out if you could, but you wouldn't stay in there and be shouting. You'd be screaming probably by the pain. But the bottom line is, folks, fire is real. And eternity has, the hellfire eternity has fire and brimstone. And the devil's there. And his angels are there. And the things that are going. Let me tell you, folks, it's real tonight. And he's taking vengeance on them.
Yes.
That know not God. Taking flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not. It is a slap at God for you and I to turn down this book that is eternally, eternally written, that not only helps us here and not only gets us ready here, but something that leads and guides us and blesses us all through life. And that's going to be the thing that's going to help us to get right on into heaven. And yet people are turning it down. I don't want to obey that. I don't like that. Why, it said, thou shalt not steal. I want to go steal a chicken out of my neighbor's yard. I want to go get a cow. There was a man one time in a meeting many years ago. And he come up to a preacher and he'd been trying to get saved and he couldn't get saved. And he come up to the evangelist and told him, said, I want you to pray and help me to understand why I can't get saved. He said, all right. So he prayed. And the Lord revealed to him that that man had gone over. No, a man's cow had come over to his place, and he had put it in his pasture and never sent it back like he's supposed to. In other words, he kept it. He stole it. So the man come up to him and he said, brother, have you got this prayed out? Yeah. And he said, all right, what is it? He said, you swallowed a red cow. And the man went like this. He knew he was caught. And that might not be a big thing, but if it gets you into devil's hell for all eternity, it's wrong. You don't want to be there. And there's so many people tonight is burning in flaming fire because God has taken vengeance on them because they know not God, do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. You know what? One thing's going to be so bad about hell. It's the fact that the very presence of Jesus is not going to be there. We have the presence of Jesus here on earth. We can pray to Christ. We can have him to bless us. Yes. But folks, when you get there, what did he tell that man, that rich man? He said, let me go back. What? Let me go back and tell my brother.
Send Lazarus.
Yeah. Go back. Send Lazarus. Yeah, that's it. Send Lazarus to them. And he said, if they won't hear the prophets and so forth, they're not going to hear him. Listen, folks, today, if we're going to make heaven, we've got to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. God calling us and working. He works through a way. It's not something that's just kind of half-shot and so forth. He's got a right way, and there's a wrong way. And if you and I don't go the right way, we're going to end up in trouble. We're going to end up in trouble. All right, let's check out two cases in Acts, and we'll begin to wind this down. Acts 24. Acts 24 here. Two places where, as far as we know, the people never got saved. They turned down their opportunity. And as far as we know, now if they made it, but we don't know that. 24th chapter of Acts, 25th verse. Let's go 24. Of Acts, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered and said, go thy way. For this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for me. I'll call for thee. Understand through study on this scripture that Felix was a very wicked man. What Paul was dealing with him on righteousness, temperance, and judgment was exactly what he needed to hear because of the life that he was living. He needed to change from a wicked, corrupt life and change it into, by the grace of God and the salvation of God, into a life of righteousness like we've heard in this meeting. He needed temperance because his everything with him, naturally speaking, had run wild and he was married to the wrong person. And then judgment. My mother told me for years, said, I've heard that there's going to be a judgment, Carl, but it's never happened. That don't mean it's not going to happen. I've heard it all of my, well, not all of my life, but over 50 years now, that there's going to be a judgment. But this man, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Felix trembled.
Yes,
listen, folks, tonight he trembled. He looked at it. He thought about it. But he wasn't quite ready to make that move. Go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. They will never, in a sense of the word, really be a convenient season. Because the devil's going to do all he can to keep you from having a real convenient time. You're going to have to do it when the Lord is dealing with you, not when you just maybe want to run around and do something. But the bottom line, when God is calling. Talking to a man in a certain place that used to pastor. I love the whole family. There's a number of children. And I was talking to him. And he had talked to me another time. And that's the reason I was going back again. And running my steps again. And I said, has the Lord dealt with you? Has the Lord convicted you? Has the Lord stirred you? And he said, yeah. But he turned it down. And he turned it down. And he turned it down. He wanted me to come back to that place and be pastor. Well, I couldn't do that. Not at that point. Still can't. Now they've got somebody. And I don't have a burden that way anyway. But listen tonight. When God's calling you, it may not be a convenient season for you, but it's His call and you better answer that call.
Yeah.
You better make a move with that call, because then if he pulls that back, you may never have another chance to get saved. Another person in the same family. This is a woman. And she came to me and another person, another sister in the congregation there. And she indicated the Lord was dealing with her. But again, she turned it down. And I asked her another time, I said, listen, is the Lord dealing with you? Yes. He had dealt with her, but she kept turning it down. And do you know what she put in prayer request when I was pastor over and over and over? Pray that I be saved. Listen, folks, you can ask for prayer to be saved, but you got to do something. I can pray all week. I can leave all the food off for a month. But the bottom line is, when the God is calling you, you've got to move. When mama calls the children, children, come here. If they stay over there, they ain't getting anywhere. When God's calling you, you got to move. You got to do something. You've got to meet with Him. You've got to repent. You've got to confess. You've got to be willing to do everything that He is dealing with you to do. If you don't do that, just like this man here, you're going to come to the wrong. All right, let's go to 26 and 27 of Acts. King Agrippa, let's go 26 and 26, I guess. He said, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And then he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernus, which they that sat with him. Now he said there, I know thou believest. I know you believe the prophets. I know you do. And then he said, almost thou persuadest me. How much did he lack? Was it that much or that much? If he's that close, what more would it take? Almost thou persuadest me. Almost. If I prayed with you all night, would that work? If I prayed with you all week, would that work? Listen, folks, tonight, almost. Are you almost persuaded to make a move for Jesus Christ tonight in any way that you need help? Almost. What's the leaders here got to do to get us to get you to do that? Almost. And then you die lost. And that word almost going to haunt you for eternity. You're going to look at it and think, I almost done it. But I didn't do it.
Lord,
almost. That's scary. That would be something that would haunt you and haunt you. Listen, you're going to have your five senses in hell. You're not going to be somebody that don't have this and this and this. You're going to be able to think. You're going to be able to see. And so forth. You're going to have those senses in eternity. And one thing it's going to be is the bottom line is you're going to remember the times you didn't go to the altar. You're going to remember that message that was touching you and you turned around and walked out the door. You're going to remember those times that God called you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You're going to remember those things and going to haunt you when you're burning in a devil's hell. Do you want to be that way? I'm going to tell you it's serious tonight. Are we going to escape? No. There's no way that we're going to escape if we turn down the great plan of salvation. All right, two more places. 25 and 46 of Matthew. 25 and 46 of Matthew. And he's got a whole set of deals. I'm not going to read all them. But it said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting. How long is that everlasting? It's forever. All right, one more scripture, 20 and 15 of Revelation. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. Now what does it say here? Was cast into what? The lake of fire? Not just a fire out beside the house that we're going to cook some hot dogs on, but a lake of fire. And that lake, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think I'm too far off. This lake is going to get larger and larger as the more millions of people are descending into it. The old general, as I call him, Brother Sammons, was praying to the Lord many years ago that the Lord would give him a greater burden for the lost. He had a vision one night, and in this vision, he was going down a road. He was going beside a road. The road was going down, and it was full of people. Down there, a ways ahead of him, was a chasm. And these people were going off into that chasm, and he could hear them screaming and hollering, begging and pleading. And Brother Salmon said he was going like this, turn around, turn around, turn around. He was trying to stop them. But he said they were so many, and the rush and the push of the people behind was shoving them right into hell. Turn around. Don't go there. Be cast in the lake of fire. Oh, tonight, Lord have mercy. Are we going to escape? No. We're going to deal face to face with the one that died. When he appeared to me in 1985, I saw him. I can't tell you what he looked like. I can't tell you what he was wearing. But he pointed at me and he said, I died for you, child. I had another vision during a funeral. My sister-in-law, Eva Lou Gaines, died. And we were in the funeral there in the murder chapel. And behind the pulpit, there's not a whole lot of space, about this much space right here, between here and that wall. And up on that wall, she was standing in a black wrought iron deal like this, and she was standing there. And I looked at her. I knew exactly who she was. She was in the most radiant white I've ever seen in my life. And you know what she was doing? She was telling us to come. We got to the cemetery, and I told the wife what I had seen going over to the cemetery, which is all on the same ground there, Myrtle. And I said, this is what I seen. I seen Eva Lou. I knew who she was. Now, Christ, I couldn't tell you any facial features. I couldn't tell you anything he had on. But I saw his arm, and I heard his words. But this, I knew her. Glorious, radiant white. And she was waving. We got over the cemetery, And the minister that was doing the cemetery told the very same thing. He saw it too. Listen, folks, hell is real tonight. Heaven is real. And you've got your choice. But if you take the choice of I'm going to outrun him, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We can't do that. Appreciate your time and attention. Let's stand and have a number, please.